Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always." Welcome to morning worship at Cramond Kirk on Sunday the 21st of June. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And after all the delight of the children and young people last Sunday at their flower service, I'm afraid it's back to me. Let us pray. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, as we gather to worship, make us welcome. And as we listen to your word, deepen our faithfulness to you and to one another through your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The book of Acts offers us a fascinating insight into the life of the early church. It speaks of remarkable growth, as from the most humble beginnings in Jerusalem, the first disciples took the gospel of Christ out into the wider world, preaching, baptizing, and winning new converts to what was described as the people of the way. It also tells, however, of dispute and disagreement, as these same disciples struggled to come to terms with exactly who was welcome into this new way of faith, this new way of life. And something of that struggle is evident in this morning's passage. We're going to read from the book of Acts at chapter 10 and verse 9. And one of our newly ordained elders, Dorcas MacLeod, is reading this morning's passage. Dorcas.
About noon the next day, as they were on their way, on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground with its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of all the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men met by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. Amen.
Thank you, Dorcas. 72 years ago tomorrow, the 22nd of June 1948, some 500 men, women and children docked at the port of Tilbury. Although those on board the MV Empire Windrush would not have known it, Their arrival to this busy working port heralded a landmark moment in Britain's history. Filled with hopes and dreams, and doubtless a little apprehension and fear, the people who disembarked from the Windrush that day stepped out into the unknown, their lives in this country ahead of them, and no easy way of turning back to the places from which they had come. Unlike the present day migrant people packed onto boats crossing the English Channel in the hope of making windfall, the Windrush passengers had been invited to come to the UK to help rebuild Britain in the aftermath of the Second World War. And rebuild it they most certainly helped to do, filling vacancies in our public services, in transport systems, and helping to staff what was then the newly created National Health Service. Boarding the Windrush, the ship that would have been their home for several weeks, in a day long before smartphones and broadband, it's hard to imagine the mixtures of hopes and fears with which they set sail. And little could they have imagined the welcome, or lack of it, which awaited them. It was only at the very last minute accommodation was arranged. Air raid shelters in South London's Clapham Common, and recent scandals involving passports, the refusal of medical care, and people being forcibly removed from the UK and sent back to the Caribbean has revealed the discrimination and injustice so many Windrush people have endured down through the years. The resilience, the tenacity of those who made a life for themselves and their families, and who in the face of adversity made the UK their home, is nothing short of remarkable. Tomorrow, a number of events will be held across the country to mark what is now known as Windrush Day, celebrating this important part of our shared history and heritage. And one of the things the Windrush story invites us to do is to think about what it means to be hospitable. Professor Alison Phipps, who teaches at the University of Glasgow and who is the UNESCO chair in refugee integration, Alison has suggested that many countries do not have so much a refugee crisis as a hospitality crisis. Hospitality. The Chambers Dictionary suggests it means being kind to strangers or being welcoming and generous towards guests. As is evident from the Book of Acts, one of the things the early church struggled to do was to be hospitable, that is, to be kind, welcoming, and generous to those who were Gentiles. And it's against the context of who was in, who was out, who was clean, and who was unclean that we read the remarkable story, the encounter between Peter and the Roman, the Gentile centurion Cornelius. Already introduced to us as a God-fearing man who prayed regularly, who was generous to people in need, Cornelius is told in a dream to send some of his men to Joppa and bring back a man called Simon Peter. Meanwhile, we learn of Peter's dream, a strange, disturbing dream of heaven opening and a large sheet filled with different creatures being lowered to earth and Peter being told to kill and eat, declaring he had never eaten anything impure or unclean. Peter is told in no uncertain terms not to call anything unclean that God has called clean. In, out, clean, unclean, welcome, and unwelcome. Slowly but surely, the story of Peter and Cornelius gives us an insight into the generous, hospitable nature of God. The God whose love in Christ reaches out to embrace every person, whatever their race, whatever their nationality, whatever their gender, whatever their sexuality. The same God who welcomes even the likes of you and me into the family of Christ Church. Tomorrow, the 22nd of June, as we acknowledge with shame the way people were treated and are still often treated, it's right and proper to give thanks for the Windrush generation, for all they gave and for all their descendants continue to give to the life and vitality of our country. And as we look forward in the coming days to opening up our church again, following these weeks of lockdown, we would do well to wonder if we are the kind, generous, open, inclusive, welcoming church that we aspire to be, and to ask, as if in the words of this morning's hymn, if in Cramond Kirk all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of God, in everything we touch, in everything we see, in everyone we meet, you are present. Comfort for our sorrow, courage for our fear, our peace in times of trouble, our hope in times of despair. Gladly we worship you. In silence and sorrow, we know you have sometimes found us wanting, for we do not always love our neighbour as Christ taught. We do not always seek their well-being and their peace. Our greed, our carelessness has put the earth at risk, its land and sea and air. We pray the gift of your forgiveness. We ask too the resolve, the courage to change our ways. Breath of God, we thank you for your continuing care and concern for us, for all creation. Gardens ablaze with summer flowers, apples ripening on the trees, tomatoes on the vine. We thank you for the daily gifts of food and clean water, the precious gifts of family and friends, the eternal gifts of faith, hope and love. Fiery flame of God, set alight our concern for people living in places of conflict, places of hunger, of poverty and disease. As today we remember the Windrush generation, we pray for all who have been treated badly, who have suffered discrimination. We ask the healing of their wounds, the justice for their cause. We pray for all who continue to be treated badly, who still experience discrimination in all its many forms. Rid our politics. Rid our society. Rid our church. And rid our hearts of the thoughts and attitudes, the words and actions that lead to prejudice and injustice. Help us lift the knee, build bridges of trust, foster friendships, and seek justice. Gentle dove of God, hold in your healing, comforting hands those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are dying, those who mourn, and all whom we hold in our hearts and our prayers. Now bless to us our communion with the saints. Grant each of us a living hope in the promise of life eternal. For this we ask through our Saviour Christ, in whose name we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Go now in the love and in the peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and evermore. Amen.
Saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Hear the love.